Blog Talk Radio. I'm here to talk to you about something that at first may sound like a Saturday Night Live routine, but it's really not. It's a matter that merits the most serious attention. Two of the fastest working and fastest growing parts of the body, the brain and sperm. But what they have in common is something on which the future of our species depends. How many of you know that one in six American couples is unable to have a child when they want to? How many of you know that last year the birth rate in this country dropped the most that it ever has in recent history, according to the CDC, 3% in a single year? Now, I want to let you in on a dirty secret. Phones are not tested in the way they're used. They're tested in a holster away from the body. You may remember the diesel engine scandal, Volkswagen engines, which were revealed to be rigged so that when the engine was hooked up to a computer, it automatically reduced the emissions, and as a result, when the engines were running in the real world, they emitted a lot more pollution. The results of that are evident in European cities today, where you've got smoke and pollution because those cars are on the road. So what happened? You can rig the test, but you can't rig the real world. Now, the French have done something different. They often do. They've tested phones in real-world conditions. That means they actually tested them next to the body. And they did something amazing. They took 400 phones off the shelf, put them through a test system, and they found that 9 out of 10 phones failed to pass the current European standards. You can see the bar there showing you that when the Apple iPhone 5 was tested according to the manufacturers, it easily passed the test. When it was tested with 5 millimeter distance, it still passed. But when it was tested directly next to the body, you can see that it exceeded the standard by more than double. Now, would you want to fly an airplane that had 20-year-old safety standards? And yet, the safety standards for our phones today are based on tests that were developed 20 years ago. They were developed for military and medical uses with people who didn't speak too much, 6 minutes, an average call. That's how our phones are, in fact, tested today, off the body, not realistically. Now, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation decided to test phones under real-world circumstances, and their premier newscaster, investigative journalist, Wendy Messley, put together a six-figure investigation going to the FCC-approved laboratories in the United States with the three most popular phones, and this is what they found.
This is a special edition of Marketplace.
Most of us carry our phones next to our body, and why wouldn't we?
Science, tests, and the hidden message in your cell phone.
So the tests are all done?
Tests are all finished.
And?
The number exceeded the limit. It went up significantly with each one of the phones.
That's right. The phones exceeded the safety limit when they were moved right against the body. The radiation absorbed increased 3 to 4 times.
That's right. 3 to 4 times when phones were tested the way you all have been using them until today. When you have a phone in your pocket, it's a two-way microwave radio. It's sending and receiving a signal, a handshake, 900 times a minute. And so long as it's on, whether you're using it or not, it's sending that microwave signal. And this is why the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation decided to do the testing. Now, what about the U.S.? Well, this video shows you what's in your phone right now, those phones that you've been carrying. You can see here that if you go to your home screen and you click on your settings there, and from settings you click on general, and from general you go to the top to about, and from about you go all the way down to something you've probably never seen called legal. And yes, when you click on legal, you get to RF exposure. And when you click on RF exposure, there you see it. You read through all of that, and it tells you that when phones were tested, they were kept 5 millimeters away from the body. Now, 5 millimeters is not very big distance, but it's big enough to make a huge difference in how much radiation gets into you. And that is why you've all been warned, you just didn't know it. We think we can do a better job, and that's why I'm delighted to be here with you in the TED audience tonight to talk about how you can take more precautions. We know in Jackson Hole, because the town council passed a resolution in 2010 letting people know about cell phone safety, and if you happen to live in Berkeley, you know about it because the city of Berkeley has passed a right-to-know law. But otherwise, you're out of luck unless you know how to operate your phone. Now let's go back to those fast-moving sperm. They are fast. They're amazing. They grow at the rate of 90,000 times a minute. 90,000 cells a minute are produced in the natural way. They can swim when they're made the equivalent of from Los Angeles to Hawaii at 10 miles an hour. It's really quite amazing. Why do you need so many of them? Because we want the healthiest sperm to survive. We want the survival of the fittest. Of course, you may wonder why you need so many of them. And you can see here, they don't really swim in a direction. And you know, the reason you need so many is really quite simple. Sperm don't know how to ask for directions. Now, the fast cells of the brain are even faster than the sperm. They grow at 250,000 neurons a minute. And at birth, the baby's brain is a marvel of metamorphosis. It is 100 billion neurons at birth. It's a third of the size of an adult, and by the time that baby has reached 2 years of age, their brain is 80% the size of an adult. While it's grown in size, the brain of a baby is not fully myelinated. Myelin is fat. Fat is critical to the functioning of neurons. It protects the neurons with a fatty sheath that insulates them from damage, and actually is thought to be critical to the development of impulse control and judgment, which is why it won't surprise those of you who survive teenagers to understand that myelination is not complete until the mid-20s. When we look at what we know about both the sperm and brain, they're both fast and fatty. And the fat is really important because fat has been called a natural hazardous waste site. It attracts a lot of organic garbage to it. And one of the things we know is that toxic agents can get into fat, they're attracted to it, and they can get either through the skin or through inhalation, a toxic agent can get into the body where it can be distributed, and all of the agents on the screen behind me, solvents, ionizing radiation, metals, and pesticides, are tracked into fat. But guess what? Microwave radiation enhances the absorption of any toxic material in your body. That is why it's so important to understand that you want to keep these devices off your body and especially away from your children, because the fat-loving brain and the fat-happy sperm both are storage sites for toxic agents. Now, the younger brain is going to absorb more exposure than the older brain. These images come from work that Environmental Health Trust scientists have done at Porto Alegre, a federal university in Brazil. Claudio Fernandez, Alvaro de Sales, and their teammates have produced this imaging work with us. And we can show you, seen with the yellow-white part showing the highest exposures, that the cell phone radiation gets all the way through into the eyes of a child age 6 that might have a phone next to their brain. The consequences, remember, that brain is not protected with myelin, and therefore the exposures of anything to it are going to have a greater impact. This is work done by the head of the National Institute of Drug Abuse and published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is a PET scan, a very sophisticated slice of the brain developed by Nora Volkoff. She shows that just 50 minutes of holding a cell phone directly next to the head increases the production of glucose metabolized into the brain. Even if the phone is not making any sound and the person in the study is not aware that the phone is turned on, It produces more sugar in the brain. What's wrong with that? We all like sugar. Drugs, sex, rock and roll light up the brain. So does sugar. But what is the consequence of having sugar in the brain when you're not producing it deliberately? Nobody can tell us, and we need to find out. And in the meantime, you need to protect your brain. Because what we do know is that cell phone radiation, microwave radiation, can damage brain cells. This is work published by my colleagues in Turkey and I, and we have done this work. You can see the increased white spaces in here means more damage from electromagnetic field exposures that were modeled by a computer to mimic cell phone radiation. Now, the good news part of this is you get less damage if there's melatonin in the system. Melatonin is what you make when you sleep in the dark at night. It's why nobody should try to go to sleep just after checking into their device or, for example, falling asleep with watching a movie on your body. That's interfering with your ability to make melatonin, and melatonin is what you need to repair damage throughout the body. Both melatonin and omega-3 fatty acids on the bottom two cells behind me give you less damage than you will get from electromagnetic fields alone, but still you get the damage into the brain, and be very much aware of that when you're using your devices from now on. We also can show damage to the testis, and this is work, again, done with colleagues both in Turkey and Brazil, and you can see the testicular cells are having loss of borders there when exposed to cell phone radiation. And what I want to tell you is that the Cleveland Clinic has been warning its patients for years to keep phones out of their pockets if they want to have healthy babies. The same advice comes from the Mayo Clinic. And the reason is there's a recognition that cell phone radiation can damage testicular function. The highest exposure you can see in this image there goes into the penis and the testis, and there may be a role as well for erectile dysfunction. That's a matter that's being studied right now at both those institutions. So where are we? There's a news flash from California from yesterday. It says, poor cell phone reception, weak bars, don't use your phone. It can give you 10,000 times more exposure than when you have a strong signal. And be aware of that, but also be aware that this advice about how to use phones safely has been issued by the California Department of Public Health, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Cleveland Clinic, the Mayo Clinic, the government of France, the government of Israel, and a number of other groups that all say, keep the phone off the body, put it on airplane mode, avoid using it when signals are weak. Now, I want to close by sharing with you a short message of simple advice that comes from my dear friend Keith Phillips. Keith died 2 years ago, but he left us with this important message that I want to share with you now.
Hi, I'm Keith Phillips. I'm a musician, I'm a piano player, and I'm a brain tumor survivor. And I just want you to be careful. Remember, distance is your friend. Keep your cell phone away from your head.
Thank you.
Salam and good day to the goddesses and gods. We hope your daily life is going pleasant, divine. If you continue to listen to this record, your psyche is voluntarily entering the terms and agreements of all good and no evil. Anyone who is found utilizing evil will be exiled by the host. And this is a notice and disclaimer inside for the love of commerce. We never give legal advice and we never practice law. If you are searching for those things, you will have to search somewhere outside for the love of commerce. So for all mention, we offer grace and benevolence.
Salam, salam. Salam to the gods. Hope everybody's I hope everybody's having a delightful good day. You know? And yeah, that was a recording from Dr. Devra Davis. That is DrDeVraDavis. Right? And today is Health Tuesday. For everybody who just came in, today is Health Tuesday. We're going to go up on health. And yeah, we was just talking about, you know, the electromagnetic field, EMF, also known as EMF. So, she just basically went over how people use cell phones, right, every day, and how they did tests on the cell phones, but they did a rig test on where they didn't have it actually on the body, right? So since it wasn't like necessarily on the body, it was 5 millimeters away from the body, it wasn't given a high EMF to the body coming from the phone, right, or the radiation. But once you put it straight directly to the body, it affects the DNA or cells inside of the body, right? But yeah, it goes. She got a lot of different videos out there as well. Because this is what she goes into. So definitely go ahead and check out so you can expound on the knowledge of this. Because, you know, we try to do our shows on these type of things. But you can always go deeper. And I always go deeper. That's why I talk about certain things, you know. So, yes, sir, be wise as a serpent. Microwave oven also, yeah, laptop and PCs, yes. All of these things does do have, like, microwaves inside of them. Yeah, Tesla also talks about that as well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, so let's go ahead and go into the private chat. Let's get into these definitions so we can get a little deeper into seeing what these words mean. So I'm opening up the private chat right now. And anybody want to get involved inside the private chat, you can email us at fortheloveofcommerce@gmail.com. Just type in private chat access and we'll get y'all right inside the private chat, 100% guaranteed. You know, always trying to build a private community. So let's get into the first definition, right? Because it's electromagnetic, right? Go into electro, and this is etymology. You know, we go into the etymology, which is the origin of words, just to get a better understanding. That's it. So let's see what it says. Electro, before vowels, elect, word forming element, meaning electrical, electricity, Latinized form of Greek electro, combining form of electron, amber, and it says see electric, as stand alone, formerly often short for electrotype, electroplate. So that was the quick definition for electro. So we're going to go ahead and click electric. And it says electric, adjective, 1640s, first used in English by physician Sir Thomas Brown, 1605 through 1682, apparently coined as modern Latin electricus, literally resembling amber, by English physicist William Gilbert, 1540 to 1603, in treatise De Magne, 1600. From Latin electrum, amber, from Greek electron, amber, Homer, he saw it, Herodotus. Also pale gold, a compound of one part silver to four of gold, which is of unknown origin. Originally, the word describes substances which, like amber, attract other substances when rubbed. Meaning charged with electricity is from 1670s. The physical force, so-called because it first was granted by rubbing amber. In many modern instances, the word is short for electrical. Figurative sense is attested by 1793. Electric light is from 1767. Electric toothbrush first recorded 1936. Electric blanket in 1930. Electric typewriter is from 1958. Electric guitar is from 1938. Electric organ, coined as the name of hypothetical future instrument in 1885. So.
Uh-huh, honey. Uh-huh, honey.
So, yeah, that's dope right there. El is a Phoenician deity as well as an esoteric name for Saturn. Facts. All right, so let's go ahead and go into the private chat. That was electric. All right. So we're gonna go into now. This is electrical. It's real short. It says electrical adjective. 1630s, giving off electricity when rubbed, from electrical, meaning relating to electricity, run by electricity, is from 1746, related electrically. So, all right, so that was the definition for electrical. And then, you know, the human body as well has an electrical, electromagnetic field as well. And so does the earth, and so does the sun. And these are more like natural electromagnetic fields. Because you have natural electromagnetic field, then you got the man-made electromagnetic field. So yeah, let's go to the next definition. We're going to go to magnetic. All right, magnetic, adjective, 1610s, literal but poetic dawn, having the properties of a magnet. It is attested from 1630s in the figurative meaning, having powers of attraction, but dawn's conceit also had that in mind. For modern Latin, magneticus, from Latin magnus, see magnet, the meaning capable of being attracted by a magnet, is by 1837. Related magnetical, 1580s, magnetics, the science of magnetism, 1786. And that was the definition of magnetic. You know, having the properties of a magnet, you know, attracting. And let's go, we're going to go to the definition of magnet. And it says magnet, noun, variety of magnetite, characterized by its power of attracting iron and steel. Mid-15th century, earlier late 14th century, from Old French iodostone, and directly from Latin magnetum, nominative mag. Iodostone, from Greek ho magnes, lithos, the magnesian stone, from Magnesia, see Magnesia, region in Thessaly, where magnetized ore was obtained. Figurative sense of something which attracts is from 1650s. It has spread from Latin to most Western European languages, German and Danish magnet, Dutch magnet, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese magnet. But it was superseded in French by amant, which is spelled A-I-M-A-N-T, from Latin atomus, see adamant, Italian calamita magnet, 13th century, French calamit, by 16th century, said to be from Italian, Spanish caramita, 15th century, probably from Italian, apparently is from Latin calamus, reed, stalk or straw of wheat. See Sean, the needle being inserted in a stalk or piece of cork so as to float on water. Duncan, chick magnet attested from 1989. And it had this saying right here inside this definition, adamant, right? And when you click adamant, it says hard, unbreakable. And it talks about a very hard stone, diamond magnet. We're not going to go too deep into that, but we definitely do a show about those. Because I remember, I think magnetite was inside of the philosopher's, like one of the ingredients inside the philosopher's stone. And we'll get deep inside of the philosopher's stones and all those things, but just to stay on topic, we're going to these. Let's go back inside the private chat. We're going to go into ion, and we're just trying to get all the definitions out of the way so when we do read, we understand, you know, what is being said. So ion is spelled I-O-N. And it says 1834, introduced by English physicist and chemist Michael Faraday, suggested by the Rev. William Whewell, English polymath, coined from Greek ion, neuter, present, participle of ioni, which means go, from pi root ei, to go. So-called because ions move toward the electrode of opposite charge. Right? So because ions move towards the electrode of opposite charge. And that was the definition of ions. Going to the last definition. Last definition we will go over is radiation. It says radiation, noun, mid-15th century, radiation, act or process of emitting light, from Latin, radiationum, nominative radiatio, a shining radiation, noun of action, from past participle stem of radiare, to beam, shine, gleam, make beaming, from radius, beam of light, spoke of a wheel, see radius, meaning rays or beams emitted, is from 1560s, meaning divergence from a center is 1650s. In modern physics, emission or transmission of energy in the form of waves or particles, especially in reference to ionizing radiation from early 20th century, or 20C. Right? So, yeah, that was the definition of radiation. Like they say, and like B. Wise as a serpent also talked about this, Nikola Tesla, right? Where Tesla pretty much uses like the waves of energy to transfer, you know, light, to be honest, or electricity. That's what he did. I read a few of his works on how he did, like with the light bulbs. You know, he had a few light bulbs set around him, and he ended up establishing that he could emit, you know, energy and light up these light bulbs only if they're in a certain distance. You know, if it goes too far the distance, it couldn't light it up, but he could have lighted it up as long as it was like near the correct distance. I don't know the exact amount of distance, but yeah, y'all can also look up into him too. So let's see how far we are into the show. Okay, so we are actually at the half an hour mark. We try to keep the shows about like an hour long. And the half of hour mark is where we go ahead and take a short break, a real short break, and come back in. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back, about like 4 minutes. So peace of God.
See what's coming on, the world is in a state like nobody cares anymore. With no one to turn to, the streets become dementors, troubles are turning to dust. I have visions of better days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we weren't fighting no more. I wish this was our reality. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When love conquers them all. Please just send us a brighter day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just send us a better day. I said please send us a better day. Oh Jaja, please have an eagle pay. Jaja, we need you. Your love will conquer every evil, everyone. Almighty is the answer. When we weren't fighting no more. Hey, I wish this was our reality. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When love conquers them all. Please just send us a better day.
Salam and good day to the goddesses and gods. We hope your daily life is going pleasant, divine. If you continue to listen to this record, your psyche is voluntarily entering the terms and agreements of all good and no evil. Anyone who is found utilizing evil will be exiled by the host. And this is a notice and disclaimer inside for the love of commerce. We never give legal advice and we never practice law. If you are searching for those things, you will have to search somewhere outside for the love of commerce. So for all mention, we offer grace and benevolence.
Salam to the God. We back from the break. And for those who just tuning in, today we're talking about EMF, electromagnetic field. And we just went over a few definitions. Just a few definitions like we always do from the etymology dictionary. So, yeah, let's go back inside the private chat. Let's get right into it. And we're going to open up a site that is NIEHS.NIH.gov, and it's called the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. And it says, introduction. Electric and magnetic fields, EMFs, are invisible areas of energy, often referred to as radiation, that are associated with the use of electrical power and various forms of natural and man-made lightning or lighting. EMFs are typically grouped into one of two categories by their frequency: non-ionizing, low-level radiation, which is generally perceived as harmless to humans. Okay, so remember this non-ionizing level, right? Because they say it's generally perceived as harmless to humans. Remember that one. And then the other one, the other category, is ionizing, which is high-level radiation, which has the potential for cellular and DNA damage. So it could damage the cells, and it could damage the DNA. Right? And it got like a chart right here. It says table top to view. And it's a electromagnetic spectrum. So it shows like non-ionizing or low frequency, which is power lines, radio and TV waves, cell phones and microwaves, right? And then it starts to go to ionizing, which is the high frequency. And it says infrared devices, visible light, ultraviolet radiation, X-ray, and radioactive waste. Can EMFs be harmful to my health? During the 1990s, most EMF research focused on extremely low frequency exposures stemming from conventional power sources, such as power lines, electrical substations, or home appliances. While some of these studies showed a possible link between EMF field strength and an increased risk for childhood leukemia, their findings indicate that such an association was weak. The few studies that have been conducted on adults show no evidence of a link between EMF exposure and adult cancers, such as leukemia, brain cancer, and breast cancer. Now, in the age of cellular telephones, wireless routers, and the Internet of Things, all of which use EMF, concerns persist about possible connections between EMF and adverse health effects. NIEHS acknowledges additional research is needed and recommends continued education on practical ways to reduce exposure to EMFs. Does my cell phone emit EMF radiation? Cell phones emit a form of radio frequency radiation at the lower end of the non-ionizing radiation spectrum. Currently, scientific evidence has no conclusively linked cell phone use with any adverse human health problems. Although scientists admit that more research is needed, the National Toxicology Program, NTP, headquarters at NIEHS, conducted toxicology studies in rats and mice to help clarify potential health hazards, including cancer risk, from exposure to radio frequency radiation like that used in 2G and 3G cell phones. Please visit the cell phone radio frequency radiation page to learn more. What if I live near power line? EMF, electric and magnetic fields associated with the use of the power booklet. And they give you a booklet right there. So you can click that link as well. But we're going to continue reading. It says, it is important to remember that the strength of a magnetic field decreases dramatically with increasing distance from the source. This means that the strength of the field reaching a house or structure will be significantly weaker than it was at its point of origin. I remember we was talking about the Tesla, right? Where he had like the light bulbs at a distance, but as soon as you go too far out of that distance, the light it basically shuts off. For example, a magnetic field measuring 57.5 milligauss immediately beside a 230 kilovolt transmission line measures just 7.1 milligauss at a distance of 100 feet and 1.8 milligauss at a distance of 200 feet, according to the World Health Organization in 2010. And I got a few further reading, additional resources, which you can go ahead and click those. If you're inside the private chat, you can get easy access to those. Now we're going to go into Wikipedia real quick, and we're going to click where it says wireless device radiation, and health. It says the antennas contained in mobile phones, including smartphones, emit radio frequency, RF, radiation, non-ionizing radio waves such as microwaves. So remember, we talked about the non-ionizing, right? This was supposed to be the side, the low frequency on the, I think what that was, like the radiation spectrum or the electromagnetic field spectrum. So it's basically supposed to be harmless. But if you go back to the research that Dr. Deborah Davis did, she pretty much talks about cell phones and how cell phones can damage the sperm cells inside of testicles and also damage a newborn's baby's cell because it doesn't have fat. It doesn't have this fat. It's something that it's a name that starts with an M. If you go back and listen to it in the archive, you hear what she says, but the baby brain doesn't develop this fat to protect the nervous system or basically the nerves inside of the baby's brain. So it's easier to bypass and go and do cellular structure damage along with DNA damage. So they say that studies haven't found anything really damaging, but from what I seen based on the research that I did, it's definitely damage getting done. It's not saying that if you use a cell phone directly to your head, die right away. No, it's the same thing with alcohol. You drink alcohol, we know that. We have a show that we talk about alcohol, and we know that that's like poison. We know that is poison, but you don't die right away. You know, it's a longevity thing. So you're breaking down your life force slowly but surely, really fast. Reason being is because it's not only this. We got a lot of different pollution going on through the airways, along with the foods you eat. You know, it's a lot of things. The water, fluoride. We did a show on fluoride. All of these things add up. Sure, all of those have their small part in it, but when they all come together, the symptoms and the destruction comes, you know, large. It makes a large impact. But let me go straight into the reading again. I don't want to get too into it. And it says, the antennas contained in mobile phones, including smartphones, emit radio frequencies, RF, radiation non-ionizing radio waves such as microwaves. The parts of the head or body nearest to the antennas can absorb this energy and convert it to heat. Since at least the 1990s, scientists have researched whether the now ubiquitous, which is spelled ubiquitous radiation associated with mobile phone antennas or cell phone towers is affected human health. Mobile phone networks use various bands of RF radiation, some of which overlap with the microwave range. Other digital wireless systems, such as data communication networks, produce similar radiation. And they got a photo right here with the man speaking on a mobile telephone. In response to public concern, the World Health Organization established the International EMF Electric and Magnetic Fields project in 1996 to assess the scientific evidence of possible health effects of EMF in the frequency range from 0 to 300 GHz. They have stated that although extensive research has been conducted into possible health effects of exposure to many parts of the frequency spectrum, all reviews conducted so far have indicated that as long as exposures are below the limits recommended in the ICNIRP 1998 EMF guidelines, which cover the full frequency range from 0 to 300 GHz, such exposures do not produce any known adverse health effects. In 2011, International Agency for Research on Cancer, an agency, the WHO, classified wireless radiation as group 2B, possibly carcinogenic. That means that there could be some risk of carcinogenicity. So additional research into the long-term heavy use of wireless devices needs to be conducted. The WHO states that a large number of studies have been performed over the last two decades to assess whether mobile phones pose a potential health risk. To date, no adverse health effects have been established as being caused by mobile phone use. International guidelines on exposure levels to microwave frequency EMFs such as ICNIRP limit the power levels of wireless devices, and it is uncommon for wireless devices to exceed the guidelines. These guidelines only take into account thermal effects, as non-thermal effects have not been conclusively demonstrated. The official stance of the British Health Protection Agency, HPA, is that there is no consistent evidence to date that Wi-Fi and WLANs, or WLANs, adversely affect the health of the general population, but also that it is sensible precautionary approach to keep the situation under ongoing review. In a 2018 statement, the FDA said that the current safety limits are set to include a 50-fold safety margin from observed effects of radio frequency energy exposure. All right, so real quick, right? And this, everything kind of lines up, because what all we read, we kind of can put things together. And I know some people might have heard about chemtrails. We'll do a whole show on chemtrails itself. But chemtrails, along with fluoride in the water, have metals inside of metal particles inside of these chemicals, right? So if these metal chemicals touch your body, the largest organ, which is the skin, and it sits upon and then goes inside, right? Guess what happens? It then goes into the bloodstream, right? Now it's messing with your cellular structure and DNA. Now remember, it was metals, right? What do we read about magnets? Magnets is like steel and metal. It brings it together. It attracts it, you know? So you can attract different energy within your magnetic frequency field. No, your magnetic, oh, Hold on. Let me see what I'm trying to say. Your magnetic field. I don't know why I'm doing all them other, those other words, and I don't really need to put those there. But yeah, your magnetic field is gravitating more to all these other things around you because magnets are now going through your bloodstream, and it's all kind of cellular structure damage, you know, along with DNA damage going on. Sure, you can't see the metals, right? But that doesn't mean things isn't happening. You don't have to see things to know that these things are happening. It's all in science. And a lot of people don't got microscopes. A lot of people don't got x-ray machines. A lot of people don't got electromagnetic field detectors, because they have detectors the way you can detect all of these things. So it's damage definitely going on. Yeah, if you add up everything. But and she also talks. I'm gonna play the clip. I'm gonna play this. It's a 2-minute clip. I'll play that too as well, where she talks about, you know, our sweat, our pores basically being like antennas and stuff like that, right? So we're gonna go into this last reading, and we're gonna wrap it up. So you can kind of see where everything connects. I know I didn't go pretty. I went in chronological order as much as possible, but if you do your research, everything will add up and it will make sense. All right, you said resonates an electric and magnetic resonance. What is this? Man iso resonates an electric and magnetic resonance also. I'll search it up. I'll do my research on that. Appreciate that. So let's go ahead and go back into the private chat real quick. And we're going to go on healthline.com, right? So, and they say, should you be worried about EMF exposure? This is going to be the last reading. We got a lot more information in there, but we're not going to go too much over the time. It says, most of us are used to the electronic conveniences of modern life, but few of us are aware of the possible health risks present by the gadgets that make our world work. Our power lines, cell phones, microwaves, Wi-Fi routers, computers, and other appliances send out a stream of invisible energy waves. Electric and magnetic fields are produced in anywhere electricity is used, including at home and in the workplace. Some experts are concerned about potential health effects from these fields, but should we be worried? While most researchers don't believe most EMFs are dangerous, there are still some scientists who question the safety of EMF exposure. Many say there hasn't been enough research into understanding whether EMFs are safe. Let's take a closer look. What are EMFs? Since the beginning of the universe, the sun has sent out waves that create EMFs or radiation. At the same time the sun sends out EMFs, we can see its energy radiating out. This is visible light. At the turn of the 20th century, electric power lines and indoor lighting spread across the world. Scientists realized that the power lines supplying all the energy to the world population were sending EMFs just like the sun does naturally. Over the years, scientists learned that many of the emerging electrical appliances also create EMFs as the medical world advanced. much of its diagnostic and treatment equipment, like imaging devices for X-rays and CT scans, were also found to make EMFs. Today, 90% of the world's population has access to electricity and uses electrical appliances. That means lots of electricity and EMFs are created around the world. But even with all those waves, scientists generally don't think EMFs are a health concern. Types of EMF exposure. Radiation exists across what's called the electromagnetic spectrum. This radiation ranges from very high energy, called high frequency, on one end of the spectrum to very low energy or low frequency on the other end. Examples of high energy radiation include X-rays, gamma rays, some higher energy ultraviolet rays. This is ionizing radiation, meaning this energy can affect cells on the atomic level by removing an electron from an atom or ionizing it. Ionizing radiation can damage the body's DNA and cells, which may contribute to genetic mutation and cancer. On the other end of the spectrum is extremely low ELF radiation. This is a type of non-ionizing radiation. It can move atoms around in the body or make them vibrate. But most researchers agree that it isn't enough to damage DNA or cells. In between ELF radiation and high energy radiation on the spectrum are other types of non-ionizing radiation, like radio frequency radiation, visible light, infrared, electric and magnetic field join as one field in most forms of radiation. The result is called an electromagnetic field. But the electric and magnetic fields in ELF radiation can act independently. So we use the terms magnetic field and electric field to refer to these two different fields in ELF radiation, right? In summary, here are two types of EMFs that you might be exposed to. High frequency EMFs, this is the ionizing type of radiation. Scientific literature agrees that large exposure can damage DNA cells. Medical devices, like, okay, we already went over these ones. So the low one, they talk about cell phones, microwave ovens, cell phones, hair dryers and washing machines, as well as power lines and MRIs produce this type of radiation. That's the low frequency one. Yeah. So, and let's go to this one. We're done. After that, we're gonna be done. And it says research on harmfulness. There's disagreement in scientific literature over whether EMFs pose a danger to human health, and if so, how much. The International Agency for Research on Cancer has classified non-ionizing EMFs in the radio frequency range as group 2B, a possible human carcinogen. These fields are produced by electronic produce like cell phones, smart devices, and tablets. AIRC operates under the World Health Organization, which is, they say WHO, WHO. It convenes working groups of scientists from around the world regularly to evaluate the cancer risk present to humans by environmental and lifestyle factors. The current IARC evaluation from 2011 pointed to a possible link between RF radiation and cancer in people, particularly glioma, a malignant type of brain cancer. This conclusion means that there could be some risk. Now they're saying it could be some risk. All right. It could be some. The report emphasized that the link between cell phone use and cancer risk needs to be carefully monitored by the scientific community. It said more research was needed into long-term heavy use of mobile phones. Some researchers feel there's already enough evidence of harm from long-term low-level exposure to non-ionizing radiation that the IARC should upgrade the classification to a group 1, a known carcinogen. Yeah, so they just said most researchers said further studies are needed. So, and let me, so that pretty much was the reading for the Healthline. As you do know, it is we do have a natural electromagnetic field along with an man-made or unnatural electromagnetic field. And let me see what my friend Be Wise as a Serpent says inside here. He said EMF is destructive. 5HZ or 5 Hertz is destructive. iPhone, smartphones, Android equate to holding your head in a microwave oven. Right? Real talk. And that's why you gotta go a little bit more into Dr. Derva Davis, or no, Dr. Devra Davis. And that's DrDevraDavis. And she goes into this, though they saying all this stuff on the internet, they are coming up, they are starting to see in studies themselves that things was rigged, and that how they really was testing things is not how they was going about it. They're testing stuff five millimeters away from the body, away from the natural EMF, electromagnetic field of the human body, or just the body. So because of that distance, it makes the spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum, seems low. So, yeah. Let me go ahead and see if I can find that last clip dealing with her. What it's called, like, help risk. I think I downloaded it up here. Well, uploaded it. Yeah, I did. But yeah, I really had a beautiful time on the show today. I'm going to go ahead and listen to this about 3 times. So I apologize for my word selection today. I know I was like kind of like lost for words. Like, all right, what is this? Like, what can I put here? You know, but small things, as long as y'all understand, hopefully y'all understand how serious these things is, even when they tell you, because their words kind of contradicts itself, because they saying, oh no, it's not harmful, or research do need to be further, so we can see if it leads up to cancer, etc. But it don't necessarily has to only lead to cancer. It could just weaken the cells. And if it's weakening the cells, isn't that causing like damage? If it's doing anything to disturb the cells, isn't that causing damage in some type of way? Of course, it's not causing an extreme damage, right? It could cause a low damage, but remember we said, all of these damages that is around us, that is small, when it comes together, it becomes a big damage. It comes higher damage, especially in the long run. And we always wonder why our ancestors and things was living so long. But, you know, we're not living as long as them. It's because instead of us using the natural, you know, electromagnetic fields or the natural, you know what I'm saying, the natural state of everything, we now using our unnatural synthetic versions of whatever we could find. You know? And that's what's putting us inside this hole. But anyway, I ain't going to make the show too long. Love the show. See y'all later. Peace to the gods. I'm going to play that clip for y'all right now.
I'm Dr. Deborah Davis, and I'm here to talk with you today about the 5G that Environmental Health Trust is quite concerned about. This is a network that's being rolled out all over the country that will involve thousands of antennas. I love my devices as much as anyone else, but I don't want to put the health of my grandchildren at risk. I don't want to put them in harm's way. And we now know that the skin, our largest organ, does respond to 5G. And in fact, we have in our sweat ducts, they can act as antennas that can receive signals. Now, this has not been tested for safety. The fact that it can interact with our sweat ducts may have much more profound meanings for our overall health and well-being. The idea that we're going to saturate this country with a network that has never been tested is appalling. And I am joining with many other scientists from around the world now to express concerns and to say we must evaluate these things before we roll out the technology, no matter how attractive it is for us to have faster downloads of video games, pornography, or virtual reality. The question we have to ask ourselves, is it worth endangering the health of our children to do that? For more information about this and other environmental health issues, please look at our website, EH.